Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you, and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to From the Kitchen Table. I'm Sean Duffy, along with my co-host for the podcast, my partner in life, and my wife, Rachel Campos Duffy, for a Thanksgiving From the Kitchen Table special.
So great to be at our kitchen table on Thanksgiving of all times.
It's like, listen, everyone's around their kitchen table today.
They are.
Or someone else's kitchen table, or friends or families. We do, like hours of prep. And by the way, you're a good cook for a big feast to give thanks.
I love Thanksgiving. Yeah, Christmas is my favorite holiday, but for Pete and Will, my co-hosts, they say it's their favorite holiday because it doesn't involve gift giving. Just food and football.
Well, I mean, 4th of July doesn't include gift giving.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like a bigger holiday. It's the biggest holiday.
What I love is that you see people, kind of think through, where am I going to celebrate this day, and what friends maybe I'm going to go see, or what family is going to get together. And I think today's so many lives are so busy, and it's a time that we reconnect with those that are the closest to us. And I think that's, family is so important in human life, in American life. And again, this is the time that we celebrate that and give thanks for all the blessings that we have throughout the last year.
Yeah. I mean, I think in last 2 years, some people didn't get together with their families. We broke those rules, Sean.
We did.
We had the grandparents over during COVID, which you weren't supposed to do. It's not that different for us. But for some people, it's the first time they're getting together. But
in years.
But also, for some people, they're finally able to get together, but they can't afford to fly their loved ones out or they can't afford to do the kind of dinner, Thanksgiving meal that they always, were used to, because inflation and so many things are in the way. So I think it's an interesting time. You come out of the pandemic and then you have all these other challenges to getting together, and yet Americans will get together.
They will, and the family kitchen table might be a little bit smaller because people couldn't, afford to fly, as you mentioned, across the country to be with their loved ones. But I think this one is going to be more special because so many people followed the Fauci rule and stayed home, or by the way, they weren't at their kitchen table. They were eating outside in the garage with masks on and parkas.
I can't believe those liberals actually did that.
So, but even for liberals, they're probably going to celebrate this year.
They might be indoors this year. The liberals are indoor this year. But many of them, Sean, are still not happy with Thanksgiving.
No, they're not.
They don't like Thanksgiving. They may like the food. They may like the turkey. They may like the pie. They may like the football. But boy, they do not like American history. And so from the crowd that gave us the 1619 Project, saying that our country was founded on slavery instead of freedom, they're also saying that Thanksgiving is a holiday of oppression.
It's
instead of what we know it to be as this moment for thankfulness. So I want to bring in our guest, first of all. And then I want to read you a quote from a tweet from a Hollywood liberal who I think encapsulates the way a lot of liberals feel about Thanksgiving. So first, let's welcome our daughter, Evita.
Evita, welcome to the kitchen table.
Hi, good to be here.
We're sad you're not going to be with us this Thanksgiving.
No, I'm not, but I'm going to be there really soon after. Yeah.
Yes, you'll be here soon after, and you're definitely going to be here for Christmas. And
we're going here in spirit, I guess.
You'll be here in spirit. And we're going away after New Year's, which we're excited for our little family vacation, which you'll be part of.
And the, and the problem, just so you guys know, we have to actually work through the holiday. So, so we have Christmas off, but there's almost every day around that we're doing
things here or there.
So but after New Year's, we're getting away as a family.
We are definitely getting away, but we're taking Christmas off and all that kind of stuff. Evita studied American history at the University of Chicago. She's graduated now. She loves American history. That's one of the things I like about Evita. And I honestly, to be honest, Evita, I don't feel like I got the kind of American history education that I would have liked to have had. I'm actually kind of jealous of you and even our kids who now go to Classical Academy. They're, you know, already in, you know, ninth grade getting steeped in the Federalist Papers and all these things that I didn't get exposed to, because I kind of had that 70s education when they began to undo American history and start to make Americans feel bad about Thanksgiving and the Pilgrims and Columbus. And I mean, it just goes on and on, right?
Yeah. I mean, and I would say even before I was, you know, going to a good Catholic school, we had people, teachers demonizing Thanksgiving when I was in like fourth grade, fifth grade. I mean, they start really young. So it's really sad.
Right. Which is why we're so happy to be at a Catholic, Classical Catholic Academy. So Evita, you know who John Leguizamo is? He was in, I'll name a few of the movies. John, when I read the tweet to your dad, he was like, what movies is he
Who's
in?
John Leguizamo? Leguizamo. I couldn't say his name.
But he was in Moulin Rouge. He was in Romeo and Juliet with Leo DiCaprio. He was in Encanto. You know, our kids love that movie, Encanto. Let me see if there's anyone, Batman. Batman the Riddler. He was in what? Any other movies you remember him in, Evita?
No, I don't. I'm with Dad. I don't really know who he is.
You guys don't know. I know who he is. I've actually met him before once when I lived in LA. He was dating a girl that I knew, and I actually went to breakfast with him. He's a nice guy, but he is definitely a major, major liberal.
So what did he say?
So I'm going to read you his tweet. I'm trying to pull it up here.
Rachel's trying to pull it up. And so
I'm not so tech savvy. Okay. Here's what he said. He said, "Happy Indigenous Survivors Day. F Thanksgiving." And, you know, he got a lot of retweets from a lot of liberals, and I think a lot of liberals feel that way about it. And you're somebody who studied American history. What's your take on that?
Right. I mean, it's preposterous. And I think it's really damaging to our cultural heritage that we have as Americans. But just looking at the facts of what happened to the Pilgrims and the Indians, and was this a case of exploitation or colonizing? It's just untrue. The Pilgrims came to the New World to start self-government, implemented by God, not by man. They were sort of religious minorities. They were persecuted. And when they showed up in the Americas, it was tough. I mean, it was really, really difficult. And over half of the Pilgrims actually ended up dying in that first winter. It was so brutal. And they needed the Indians, relied on them to help them cultivate the land and to figure out how can we survive here. And actually, the first Thanksgiving is the benchmark of 50 years of peace between the Indians and the Pilgrims, one of the longest lasting, most successful peace treaties between natives and Europeans coming to the Americas. So, I mean, it's actually a testament of peace, of goodwill, of thankfulness, of a cultural heritage that we share as Americans, and that you have celebrities and politicians trying to discredit it, trying to smear it is really, really disgusting.
I may be wrong on this, but the soil at Plymouth Rock was not like Kansas, right? So if my memory serves me, I believe the natives taught them how to use fish and discarded fish and guts and bones to actually
fertilize,
till into the soil and fertilize so they could actually grow crops. And this idea that they came together at the end of the harvest and celebrated the prosperity of the harvest together and gave thanks that they had food and food meant survival is a beautiful thing. And to apply today's woke liberal standards on this wonderful celebration that we still celebrate today, I think is shameful, but also a testament to how far the country has moved away from celebrating itself to now demonizing itself.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I have friends who are immigrants to this country And I remember one of our friends, Gizo, really good friend of ours. He was our realtor, but he became our good friend.
He's Georgian. I love Gizo.
I love him. He's from Georgia, the country of Georgia. And, you know, he just thought it was so amazing that we as Americans had a holiday where we took a day off of work just to thank God for all the things in our life. And I remember my mom had, you know, my mom's an immigrant. She also had that experience. And I think sometimes we benefit from seeing America and the things we do culturally and the traditions we have through the eyes of people who are experiencing it for the first time. And it's really beautiful. I mean, my mother had never had, you know, a roasted turkey before and, you know, never eaten yams before. I mean, all of the things that we did at Thanksgiving were things that my mom was so eager to learn to do because she became an American and she embraced this day and understood it for what it was. And we're robbing so many new immigrants of that love of country, that pride that we should have, you know, in that first Thanksgiving and in what we've built as a country. I mean, that prosperity has continued. You know, when we say God shed his grace on thee, when we sing about America, it's true. I mean, this is a blessed country and there are people who want to tear it down and it's sad. And I think, you know, that's why in so many ways, those of us who continue to celebrate in that traditional spirit of Thanksgiving, I mean, we are, you know, preserving something wonderful. And I think we ought to really double down on Thanksgiving. And I tell you what, we were not allowing Fauci to end it. I totally thought that there was a lot more to that. Evita, what do you think?
Well, I wanted to go back to another point that you had, then I'll talk
sure,
about
go
Fauci because he's so, but I also just want to say,
he's gone. He's now gone. He'll be back for some hearings. Don't worry.
Right. I hope hopefully. So. I hope Republicans do that. No, but I was gonna say, I think that it's worse than just, oh, it's so sad. It's not in the memory of the pilgrims to smear them this way. Like, this is national suicide to teach your kids that these beautiful, wonderful stories and values that we have are actually evil and colonizing and need to be torn down. And not just teaching, you know, you're the next generation of Americans that, but also we're telling every other immigrant that comes in that as well. America is a value system. I mean, we have a cultural heritage that we all buy into. And if we do, our system works. And if we don't, and we start tearing down all these pieces of self-government, of you know, one nation under God, I mean, all of these things, suddenly we don't have America anymore. If we don't all buy into those shared values, into our shared history and our shared culture, it doesn't exist. So I think that it's worse than just a slap in the face to the pilgrim's memory. It's actually national suicide, and it's very frightening for all of us.
I couldn't agree with that more, Evita. And I watched this one night. Tucker Carlson was talking about, it's not an idea, America. It's actually land. It's a place, and it is a place. But America is great because of the set of ideas that we value and hold close to our hearts. And this idea that the pilgrims, and you're going to talk about Fauci in a second, but the fact that the pilgrims came here for religious liberty and freedom, they were you know, pretty they were a sect that was not accepted in culture, and they decided to come where they could practice their religion freely without persecution. And we look at what's happening now, whether it was, you know, shutting down churches over COVID, or, you know, liberals now coming out and saying that the rosary is, was it dangerous? Was it a violent symbol?
Yeah.
A radical symbol.
It's a symbol of terrorism or something crazy like that.
I mean, the fact that there's an assault on the very idea of why the pilgrims came here is so disturbing.
Yeah, I could.
Did you have a question
more
for her,
well,
Sean?
I want to make that point, but I was going to say, well, I thought you wanted to. So give us your take. If you, I don't know if you want to give us your take on Fauci, but I got another thought after you do your Fauci take, if you have one.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think that it was for me as just at the time I was an intern at the Federalist during like the 2020 and then even 2021, and during Thanksgiving where they were shutting everything down, and I made it my priority to just write every time about a leftist politician who was on board with Fauci saying, stay home, don't go visit your families, you know, do remote Thanksgiving, have your laptop open at your kitchen table. And then they themselves were going out and seeing their families for Thanksgiving while the rest of us were stuck inside, or they even had cops coming at doors, shutting down Thanksgiving meals. I mean, horrible, you know, disruption to a wonderful family tradition. And yet it was rules for me and not for thee from a lot of these leftist politicians. And we should all remember that. Like, it was so infuriating at the time. And sometimes when these things happen, we just kind of let it go. We forget about it. And we shouldn't forget about it, because there are names. I have them written, wrote articles about them. And we need to keep talking about that hypocrisy.
Yeah, absolutely. We can never let, we can never normalize what happened during COVID. And we have to fight to get back every liberty that we lost during that time. And I mean, I think this is something, you know, it is about Thanksgiving. I'm so thankful for our Constitution. I'm so thankful for the pilgrims that came over. I'm so thankful for our founding fathers. And I'm so thankful for our beautiful American history, which is a history of liberty. You know, those who lived in the gulags, the Russian gulags, will tell you that what the Soviets did to really, you know, install their new ideology, this atheistic Marxist theology of their own, and replace it, the Orthodox Christianity and the Russian culture, they had to replace it. And they would tell you that to destroy a people, you must first sever them from their roots. And that is what the left is trying to do. And they started with, as you know, Evita, from a people's history, the history book by
Howard Zinn,
that is now the number one history book. It's a history book through the Marxist lens of this Marxist professor. It is now the number one book being used to educate our children. They started with Columbus. He actually said, I have to first tear down Columbus. We know that Columbus Day is no longer Columbus Day. Most cities in our country now call it Indigenous History Day. And now we also see this with Thanksgiving. And so I think it's a time for us to be intentional about Thanksgiving, and also joyful, and not let these naysayers, these anti-Americans who want to tear down our country, to take hold of it. Now, they tried during COVID.
Yeah.
And you'll see, I think Thanksgiving is coming back with a vengeance, because people want that back.
But I can, as I look at this too, in VT, you said this is national suicide, and I couldn't agree with you more. It's, if you teach a people to hate themselves, yeah. If you teach kids to hate their parents, it's almost hating who you are, despising who you are and where you come from. That opens you up to what mom just said, which is, you know, what we're here to take on something brand new, which is very old, which is Marxism, which is the complete opposite of what our founders and the pilgrims envisioned when they came to this new country. And as I look at Thanksgiving, and again, I agree, there are so many things for us to be thankful for, but there is a war afoot. It's a cultural war. And I think that conservatives, not even traditional liberals, have sat back and let this train roll on of demonizing our homeland, our country, and so many things that are so great about it. And it's incumbent upon people who are having kids, mm-hmm. to talk about Thanksgiving, why it's meaningful, what the roots of this holiday are, why your country is great, what wonderful things your founders gave you that you should be thankful for on this day, right, America. And again, every kid, child is not getting that viewpoint
in
school.
No, they're not.
And so again, save America. Save your family. And by saving your family, this is the holiday to celebrate America, to teach your kids.
Yeah, don't assume. In fact, assume that they were given a very negative view of the pilgrims at their public school. You should absolutely make that assumption. It is the rare school that tells the story of Thanksgiving as you talked about it, Evita. The rare school. So assume they're getting a culturally Marxist view of oppression and all that stuff about Thanksgiving. And so now it's your job to tell the Thanksgiving story at your table before your meal. Talk about the pilgrims. You know, Evita, one of the things I loved about the story of the pilgrims is how, you know, you all know that my favorite children's story is The Little Red Hen. I think the Little Red Hen is the quintessential American story. Every family should have the Little Red Hen in their book, because it is intrinsically an anti-socialism book. Mm-hmm. It's about hard work, and it's about,
you don't work, you don't eat.
If you don't work, you don't eat. And Evita, that was sort of what we saw happen with the pilgrims.
We'll have more of this conversation after this.
Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
Yeah, so they kind of had a communist system where everybody sort of chipped in and did work together, and then they all, you know, reap the benefits of their harvest. And eventually it just started to deteriorate because this is what Bradford, you know, William Bradford observes, that people weren't willing to put the work in if they knew that someone else was going to do it for them, and then they would still get a meal at the end of the day. Yeah, it's an amazing you know, story about
human nature, about, right? It's human nature
and why socialism doesn't work. And maybe that's also part of the reason why they don't like the Pilgrims.
That, you know what? Right. Evita, you're right. And by the way, they tried that again in the 60s when they had all their communes and there were all these lazy people.
They always starve.
They starved.
They did. And they had to change the model. Starve? And go, you don't work, you don't eat.
Yeah. And, I mean, so there's so many beautiful lessons to be learned. Assume your kids are getting the wrong message at school. Teach that lesson. Celebrate with gusto, as we did. You know, bring in the family from far away. Open the table up to everybody you can and I celebrate.
Can I ask if I'm a Marxist to the two of you? I've come to the point.
Are you a Marxist? No.
Could I answer that already? Point of my life. Where I'm just going to be honest, okay? I'm going to be really, really honest.
That's being a Marxist?
Maybe. On this, I don't like turkey. We do a turkey. We do a turkey every year. I'm like, why don't we have a Thanksgiving ham?
Yeah, you're definitely
ham?
A communist.
Why don't we like have a Thanksgiving turkey. Steak? But instead, in the great tradition of American Thanksgiving.
Yeah, whether you
I
like
get
it or
turkey
not.
And it's, and I, now, so we're going to deep fry it because John McLemore from Master Built has taught us the deep fried turkey is the best. Next best.
It is the juiciest.
Is the smoked. But we do it. But turkey's dry. I love the stuffing in the turkey. But it's not my favorite food. I like the soup that you'll make.
I make a beautiful turkey soup, and I make the homemade stock from the carcass.
You do, but I don't go, oh my goodness, I'm so like ready to dive into that dry turkey. Even when I do it really well.
Are you saying my turkey is dry?
Yeah, but do you not?
Turkey is just dry. Not your. You do it as best you can, but it's just a dry bird.
We're going to brine it tonight.
I know. It's like let's have duck. Like duck. Like, come on. I get they ate that and we're going to do it. I'm going to do it. Just don't send me hate mail. I'm going to do the turkey, but I'm going to admit to you all, I don't like the turkey. I eat it, but I don't love
but
it.
But Dad, don't you like the sides?
I agree. Go ahead, Evita.
Well, no, I was going to say, don't you like the next day when you have like the sweet rolls,
yes,
and then you put mayonnaise and you put cranberry sauce and then the turkey, and it's like an awesome sandwich. You don't like that?
Because I have to smother the taste of the turkey in cranberry sauce.
What?
And mayo. I know. I'm sorry. I'm just being really honest. It took me almost 50 years to get to this point of saying, I'm going to tell you, I do it and I'll be happy. I love the celebration and I love where it comes from in our long history of doing turkey. But I'm just going to say, I'm going to eat it, but I'm not going to love it.
Well, it's okay to love the sides more. I think probably three quarters of Americans are with you on the sides are better than the turkey. Usually that's fair. You know, we did brine our turkey. It's going to be delicious. We're going to fry it up and we'll see what you think at the end. You know, I had a similar experience. You and I both grew up. It's one of the things even though we're so different in terms of like, you know, our family heritage, the one thing we did have in common besides being Catholic and from family oriented families and was that we both had leg of lamb at Christmas. And my mom's leg of lamb was usually pretty good, but there were a couple of years it was dry. You said your mom always overcooked the lamb.
Yeah, my mom made some pretty rough leg of lamb.
Yeah. So,
love her to death.
But we love lamb chops. And then we really love the lollipop lamb chops. And so we used to make leg of lamb when we were in our younger years. And when we figured out we could just have lamb chops and French fries, do that instead.
You mentioned my mom. Can I make some of the point too here?
Sure.
So my mom is a big liberal and I love her to death.
She's a big Bernie Sanders supporter. I know.
It's really hard.
She voted for you though.
She says she did, but it's a silent vote.
We don't know.
Secret ballot. there's 11 of us in the family and I think virtually all of us voted for Trump. So she's outnumbered in the family. She raised us well.
But you know what's interesting? Half of your family voted for Barack Obama.
Yeah,
Barack Obama.
You know what? That checks out for Wisconsin Trump. Because Wisconsin did that too, where came out in massive numbers for Obama in 2008 and then also in 2012. And then 2016, we flipped. It actually makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and they're so very Wisconsin.
But as I think about Thanksgiving, there is a lot of families that come together and they don't agree politically, right? They have these political ideas that are light years apart. You know, some people love Trump and some hate Trump, some, you know, love what Joe Biden has done, some hate him. I mean, so there's this big riff in families. And I think what's important is, and again, I love politics. I love talking about politics, but I think around the Thanksgiving table, you got to leave politics alone, especially when it's going to be divisive and people get heated and you're not going to change their opinion. And when I go home too with my mom, she'll actually try to bring stuff up or, you know, do a little poking here and there. The point is you got to end it. Just don't talk about it. Leave it alone. Talk about football. Talk about your family. Talk about there's so many things in our lives to talk about. You can actually leave politics alone. And I think that sometimes we all come loaded for bear. Our families are more important than the politics around which divides us. So
I agree. But if liberals bring it up, Republicans often sit back and let liberals feel free to say what they want to say. And then you got to really defend your ground. But I agree. You know, look, in the end, we have friends in politics, even on our side, on the Republican side, on the Democrat side. And we just have decided that, you know, we like them more than we care about the politics around it. Just like we care about, you know, our families more than we care about politics. And so I think that's what everyone needs to focus on. And that's what it's all about. Vita, you feel the same way, right?
For one day out of the year. then you can go back to trying to convert them, because I do think that, you know, your family, you respect their opinion a lot. And to say, you know what, I'm going to cede my nieces and nephews to the leftists, you know, at University of wherever. I don't know if that's the best course of action all the time.
That's such a great point you bring up, Evita. So this is a great strategy for handling your liberal relatives. If they're over the age of 45, don't bother. They're not going to change their mind. They are who they are, right? People get older and they're just like, but if you have young teenagers, young nieces and nephews in their 20s, they're still persuadable.
Pull
them aside and
get them a cold beer and say, listen, let's talk turkey.
Let's talk
turkey. Politics, actually. Can I bring up one other point so I was reading an article this morning and I brought it up to mom, and it was talking about divorce, which is, again, this is actually related, but it's an issue that says there's a lot of negative emotions that people can feel just in life. They can
families and in marriages. Yeah.
And the one emotion that cuts through all the negativity of those other emotions
in any relationship
and in life is gratitude.
Right.
Being grateful for what you have, not coveting, not thinking about what someone else might be doing or what I don't have, or being grateful for, again, you have heat in your home, you have a roof over your head, you have a meal on your table, you have some of your family around. There's so many things to be grateful for and to focus on that, which is why before we sit down and eat, we go around, make all the little kids to talk about what they're grateful for. And hearing other people talk about what they're grateful for. And again, you get some odd things coming from 6-year-olds. and they're wonderful, but it makes you smile and it makes you kind of focus on all the blessings that you have in your life. And I think it's important as we come together on Thanksgiving to go, hey, what are we all thankful for?
What are you thankful for, Sean?
Listen, you know what? I'm thankful that I can still practice my faith. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful that we have food. There's so many people that can't practice their faith, that don't have a roof over their head, that don't have food. And you know what? I'm thankful for health. You know, that we're healthy, that we don't have a lot of sickness in our family, and that can change in an instant. And I know a lot of families out there are dealing with, you know, issues of health, and the I feel very blessed that we are not dealing with that, at least at this Thanksgiving. And because if you don't have that, a lot of things become really
harder.
Challenging.
Yeah, it gets harder. Yeah, I'm so thankful for my parents. I think I was blessed to have parents that, you know, I think instilled faith in me and gave me a lot of tools to get through life. I'm really grateful for them. I'm really grateful that they stayed together and were an example of marriage working. I grew up, as you know, Sean, overseas in so many different countries. I'm a military brat. And so I'm really grateful that I got to see how life is like in other countries. And many of the countries I lived in, Turkey, Peru, these were third world countries. And I saw a lot of deep poverty, real poverty. I mean, not, you know, people talk about poor people in America, and there are poor people in America, but it's a different level of poverty in so many of these other countries that I lived in. And, you know, I've always carried that with me. I've always been grateful that my parents never shielded me from seeing those things, and actually, you know, did a lot of charity work while we were overseas, and able to see that and help out, but also know that we are so blessed to be Americans, that there's so much prosperity and abundance here, and we take our freedoms and that prosperity for granted way too much. Mm-hmm. And we're in danger of losing it when we do that.
Evita, how about you?
What am I grateful for?
Yeah. What are you grateful for?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to sound redundant, but I think that my biggest thing is my family, and to have support from you guys and all of my siblings. And I'm not going to be there for Thanksgiving, which is sad, but for every other holiday when I come home, it's a full house all the time. And I have a lot of friends who come from families with one other sibling or just themselves or an only child. And they'll send me pictures of their Thanksgiving table, and there's probably a sixth of the amount of food that we have, and it doesn't look as fun. So I'm really grateful for my family. Yeah.
So I was talking to the kids the other night to say, if something ever happened to Mom and I had to do Thanksgiving, here's what it would be.
The kids were like, "That's so depressing, Dad."
I'm like, "I'm going to get some canned corn, buy a pie at the store." I'll buy some stuffing at the store, and I'll make myself a turkey, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, maybe you'll just have
the
chicken at the store, since you don't like turkey.
Right.
Well, maybe I'd go, we're going to do Thanksgiving, you know, ham or Thanksgiving steak. but it makes me just finish this point. I am grateful for Rachel, who makes our Thanksgiving dinner. It's crazy to put it together, and it's a lot of work. But when we sit down, we have a really nice, well thought out meal that was made with love and affection for her family. And that doesn't happen without a mama bear who goes, you know what? Nope. I'm going to make a meal that gives respect to the holiday of Thanksgiving that we're celebrating. So I'm grateful that she
and that
puts
lasts
so much
for a
effort.
Couple more days, so I don't have to cook.
Yes. Days, that's true.
And by the way, I might come to Thanksgiving this year, like full, because we eat at Fox and Friends. You know how much we eat at Fox and Friends. And I imagine there's going to be a lot of food on Thanksgiving Day in the morning.
And if I could put, so one more thought too is, so there's a lot of people that work at Fox. They're young kids that come from around the country to work there. And this year, Rachel's like, listen, if there's anyone who doesn't have a family, they're stuck in the city by themselves with, you know, this rotting large city in America, and they want to come on over and celebrate with us. Come on over. So I'm not sure. Maybe
we might have
come.
A few. We might have
maybe
a few
might come in. But again, that's part of the Thanksgiving spirit as well, of going, you know what? If there's someone out there who needs a place, who needs a seat at a table, invite them over. Your mom used to do
that. My mom did that every year growing up. There was always an airman or two who didn't have a family who came over for Christmas and Thanksgiving. So that was something. That's sort of a little tradition of my.
We'll
my
have
mom.
An extra seat because Evita's won't be filled.
Yes, Evita, we're going to miss you and Michael, but we shall. Yeah. We will survive. On Christmas, we'll have you guys over next. So
yes.
Anyway, well, it's so great. It's so great to have an American history major in the family, Sean.
It really is. Thank you.
I feel like I'm making up for my poor 70s, beginning of the undoing of American history.
It didn't come free. It was,
yeah, I will say this. Her American history degree did not come free.
Was not cheap to have one in the family.
But you know what? Biden's student loan forgiveness is helping me out. So
did you qualify? Because isn't that still in question, right?
Well, I immediately applied. So I'm like, I don't believe in it, but you know what? If he's offering it and I'm eligible, I might as well use it. I applied. So if it gets passed to the courts, then it's forgiven. But I don't know, because I think there are several lawsuits and people striking it down. So we'll see what happens. Yeah.
And then your husband was somebody who actually, you know, worked hard to pay off his, and now he's not up for it.
No, he didn't even. So what happened was he didn't take out any loans. He had worked every summer and made it so that he didn't have to, and got it all paid off. And he had, you know, in hindsight, would have taken out all the loans he could, because he knew they would have gotten forgiven, but he wasn't. You know, we didn't know what was going to happen. So it was actually, it's very unfair.
He didn't know Biden was going to be elected.
So little right. Joe Biden is burning the little red hen book right here.
Yeah.
So listen,
yes.
He should read. We should send Joe Biden the little red hen, and maybe he needs a little bit of a refresher on Thanksgiving.
Maybe he does.
All right.
Well, Evita, thank you for joining us at the virtual kitchen table here. We're missing you on Thanksgiving, and thank you all for joining
us. Thank you for
having me. We hope you all have a blessed, wonderful, thankful, heart-filled Thanksgiving with your friends or your family. We appreciate you joining us at this kitchen table.
That's right. We're wishing you an all-American happy Thanksgiving. It's a beautiful holiday. Enjoy it with your family. Eat, be merry, and God bless America.
Then we'll roll on to Christmas.
That's listen, right.
If you like our podcast, you can rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate you tuning in to From the Kitchen Table. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription, and Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
I'm Emily Campagno, host of the Fox True Crime Podcast. January 26th, 1988 was a cold and suspiciously quiet night at the Indianapolis Police Department, but the frigid night took a chilling turn with news of a triple homicide. This week, I'm joined by retired Sergeant Judd Green for a look back at this savage case, available now on Apple, Spotify, and FoxNewsPodcast.com.